So good to be in God's house tonight.
Amen.
So thankful for the presence of God that I feel in this house. I would not trade His presence for anything in the world. I would not trade. I know it's not all emotions, but I'm glad that when God saved me, He gave me something that I can feel. I don't go by feelings all the time because I don't always feel it. But I thank God that I know who He is, and I know that He's living within me. I thank God for the power and the authority that we have in Him. We know who we are in Him. And I thought that for just a moment there that Brother Jason was going to completely preach what God had given me. But alas, he did not, so I will. So y'all are stuck with me tonight. I thought he was going to bail me out there, but he didn't, or bail y'all out. But he didn't. So if you would tonight, I do appreciate Brother Jason asking me to preach tonight. It's never a dread. I'm so thankful for the call of God in my life. And I just pray tonight that someone is ministered to and blessed, and that someone tonight leaves different than when you came. So if y'all tonight would just stand with me and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Very, very well-known passage of Scripture. Luke 5, 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a man which was taken with a palsy. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He says unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. God, it's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. And God, I thank you for that. God, I thank you that your word is already anointed and inspired. And I pray, Father, that just for a time tonight, God, you would anoint my lips to speak the word that you have, Lord, for your people. God, I pray that you would help me to deliver this word to your people just as you delivered it to me, Father. Lord, not me, but you, oh God, tonight speaking this word. God, I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Let me get my water open because I anticipate needing some. Passage of scripture that we have all read, no doubt, many times. And as I read through this, so many times I've studied this passage of scripture. And if you'll remember, some of y'all remember Sister Lori teaching on this one time, and she talked about that man with the four crazy friends. Some of y'all remember that. That man with the four crazy friends who dared to not try to get him through the front because it wasn't going to happen, but they went out of their way and hoisted that man up onto the roof so that he could see Jesus. And that's the kind of friend that I want to be. That's what we all need, is that kind of friend that will do what it takes to get us to Jesus. And tonight, I'm going to tell you, I want to do what it takes to get you to Jesus. If you need to see Jesus tonight, if you need a touch from him tonight, whatever you need, I want to do whatever I can to help you get to Jesus tonight. Now, we all need a friend like this. And these men, they saw this man in need. And they knew that the best thing that they could do for him was not to take him to the local doctor. They knew that the best thing they could do for him was not to just set him out beside the gate someplace so that he could beg for alms. But they knew that the best thing that they could do for this man would be to get him in touch with Jesus Christ. And they knew that whenever they took this man to Jesus, that something was going to happen. And they did not let any obstacles stop them or hinder them. And I can see these men concocting a plan in their head. I can see them all standing around giving it this, you know, he needs a touch from God, he needs a touch from Jesus, and there's no room, we're not going to fit in there. He can't get up and walk in there himself, and I can see that kind of that aha moment that Sister Teresa mentioned a while ago when they finally realized we're going to have to do something unconventional here. Okay? We're going to have to do something a little bit unconventional, a little bit out of the ordinary. And I can see as they all stood around that stretcher, and someone probably came up with a rope and tied it around the corners of that, and they said, okay, come on, let's get busy. Time's wasting. And I can see them as they carefully grabbed a hold of those ropes, and as they hoisted him and pulled him up onto that roof. And when they got up to that roof, they began taking the tilings off so that they could lay him down, keep him on his bed, and lower him down through that roof. As many times as I've read this, there was a nugget that I missed. There was one nugget that I missed. And I love it when God shows me nuggets. Some of you all in ER may remember during this last session from October to December, if you were there and if you were listening, you heard me mention this passage of Scripture. And you heard me tell you that as I was studying for that lesson that night, that I, as I was reading through commentary and studying the Scripture, the commentator made a point that whenever they lowered him down, they did something very important. They dropped the rope. Now, that may not hit you like it hit me, but that hit me, and that hit me hard. They dropped the rope. Just think about that for just a second. They dropped the rope. Now, I'm not contradicting the message that Sister Melissa preached a couple of weeks ago. I had to sit back there and kind of chuckled whenever she started preaching on, hang on, don't let go. Hang on, don't let go. And I thought, God, and you've given me a message, drop the rope and let it go. And I'm not one to argue with Sister Melissa, but I will say that goes hand in hand. You have to let go of something in order to grab a hold of what you don't need to be letting go of. Come on, there's some people here tonight that need to let go of some things, let go of those wrong things, and grab a hold of the right things and not let go of those right things. But you can't grab a hold of those right things until you let go of those wrong things. Okay? So tonight, my point with you is, I'm not contradicting, but I'm adding to what Sister Melissa preached a couple of weeks ago. Whenever these men got their friend to Jesus Christ, they dropped the rope. They didn't stand there hanging on to the rope saying, okay, well, we better stay here just in case Jesus doesn't come through for us. Better hang on to that rope. We better stay close by. They dropped the rope. And they left him with Jesus. And they trusted that leaving him with Jesus was going to be all that it was going to take. That he was going to go in there, laid out, flat, paralyzed, on a stretcher. They were going to drop him at the feet of Jesus Christ. And they knew that even though they were dropping him paralyzed on a stretcher before Jesus Christ, they knew that he was going to be rising up, shouting the victory as he walked out on his own two feet. That's what happens when you drop the rope. That's what happens when you take your situation to a holy God, to an almighty God who cannot fail, will not fail, never has failed, and never will fail. That's what happens when you take it to him and drop the rope. Yes. Drop the rope. Now, to my knowledge, we never heard any more about these four men. Some of y'all Bible scholars know a whole lot more than I do. I stand to be corrected. I don't know that we ever hear about these four men. Again, I don't know their names, don't know where they came from, don't know where they went to, but I do know this, they were men of faith. Amen. Because they trusted Jesus enough to drop the rope. Do you trust him enough tonight to drop the rope? Come on, if you trust him enough to bring your situation to him, if you bring your cares to him, you trust him enough to take it to him, why don't you just go ahead and trust him enough to leave it with him? Come on. And I dare say tonight that most of us have something dangling at the end of a rope that we just need to get rid of. I dare say that there are some things in our lives tonight we need to drop the rope on. I know as I was praying over this message, and it's been stirring in me since, 4, 5, 6 months, and I've had to drop the rope on some things. Any preacher or teacher will tell you that they will not, cannot stand and preach or teach something that they not have not first had to take upon themselves. There have been some things that I've had to drop the rope on. Been doing a lot of soul searching over the last few months, and I've had to drop some ropes. And I want to tell you, since I've dropped some ropes, I've seen the hand of God. Things that I worried about. Things that kept me awake at night. Things that I thought about every day. Things that ate at me. Things that hurt me. Things that confused me. Things that angered me. I was telling somebody a while back, I went on vacation to Virginia Beach last year, and even on that vacation, every day, there's a situation that I thought of every day. Even on my vacation, I could not get away from it. But I dropped the rope. And I've seen God move. I promise you tonight, if you will drop the rope, God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. God wants you to bring your cares to him. He wants you to bring your problems to him. Just like these men brought that man to him. He wants you to bring every situation in your life to him. How do I know this? Because I know that 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." That's how I know that he wants me to bring him every situation in my life. That's how I know that he wants me to take it to him and leave it with him and drop the rope and trust him to take care of that situation. Why is it so important for us to bring our cares to Jesus and to not let them control us? I'll tell you one reason why it is so important for you to bring your cares to Jesus. If you will think about whenever the man would plant the seed, the thorns would come up and it would choke out that seed and that would never grow to yield any fruit at all. And he explained to them that the seed represented the word and that the thorns represented the riches, the pleasures, and the cares of this life. When we allow the cares, and he looks at all the cares and the pleasures and the riches, when we allow those things to choke out the word, we will not grow spiritually and we will not bear mature fruit. If you ever expect to grow in the Lord, and if you ever expect to be a fruitful Christian, you are going to have to make sure that you don't allow the cares of this life to choke you down, and you don't allow the cares of this life to destroy you. That's why he wants us to bring our cares to him. Why do you think the devil fights so hard to keep us from getting in the word? If we take that parable and we say, okay, here's the word, and the enemy is going to try to come to choke out that word, to keep me from getting into the word so that I can't grow as a Christian, why do you suppose Satan has such a hard time with the word? Why does he have such a hard time with you spending time in the word? Because the word is alive. The word is powerful. When we know the word and we apply that word and we begin living and walking in the word, we become a force to be reckoned with. Not in our own power, but in the power of the word. I believe in quoting the word. I believe in declaring the word. I believe in praying the word as I pray to bring scripture into my prayer, because that word is powerful. The word is powerful. And if the devil can keep me from learning the word and from reading and hearing the word, he can keep an upper hand on me. The devil hates the word because it's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. He does not want us to see where we're going. He doesn't want us to see clearly. He wants us to be blinded. He hates the word because it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness. He does not want us to live upright before a holy God. That's why he tries to bring so many things against us to keep us from getting into the word. In Hebrews chapter 12, we are told to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Told to run with patience the race that's set before us. We cannot run effectively if we're hanging on to things we don't need to be hanging on to. We can't run this race effectively if we're lugging stuff around that we don't have any business lugging around. And tonight I want to encourage you to drop the rope on that stuff and leave it with God. We're told to cast all of our cares upon him. And those cares of life that exhaust us and completely wear us down to the point that we don't care whether we go to church or not. We don't care whether we spend time in the word. We don't care whether we spend time in prayer. He wants to choke that out. That's why we have to bring our cares to the Lord. You know, if you can go for a while without reading and studying the word, eventually you just become okay with that. Come on, you will. If you go a day or two, that'll turn into a week or two, and that'll turn into a month or two, and eventually you don't think anything else about it. We can't be okay with not spending time in God's word. We can't be okay. We can't become with that. Become comfortable with that and become okay with that. God, open our eyes if that's us. Sister Brenda and I had a little discussion a couple of weeks ago, and we were just talking, and I mentioned something to this very fact about, you know, sometimes if the day just gets so busy, I wake up and I'm hurting when I wake up, or I haven't slept good, and I'm just not feeling good, and as the day goes on, I find myself, I'm just playing catch up, I'm just running to try to keep up with everything, and if I'm not careful, the end of the day will come, and I haven't spent any time in the word, and I haven't spent any time praying. Brenda, that can't keep happening. That cannot keep happening. We need the word. And we're told to cast those cares upon him so that they don't keep us out of the word of God. Even the smallest, most mundane cares of life can come to interrupt and crowd out the word of God. And we have things, you know, that we have to do. We all have life that we have to live. You know, you go to work, you clean the house and mow your yard. You know, you cook your meals, you do laundry, you take the kids to school or take them to all of their activities. And if we're not careful, those cares will crowd out the word. Sometimes you can get so busy even doing good things. And if you're not careful, even doing good things, you will find out that you are empty and you have nothing to give. And that you are actually being fruitless. Because you haven't spent time in the word. You're still lugging stuff around by that rope. Even though you're doing good things, if you're not spending time in the word, eventually all those good things will be in vain because you have nothing to give. And I can promise you, if you hang on to the cares of this life, they will pierce you, they will cut you, they will crowd you, they will choke the very life out of you until you have absolutely nothing to give. Your walk with God will suffer. Your testimony as a Christian, as a child of God, that testimony will begin to suffer. Your ministry will suffer. If you got something you're hanging on to, you need to give it to God and drop that rope. He said, bring all your cares. If you're living and breathing today, you've got cares. Come on. If you're living and breathing today, you have fears or worries or anxiety. You have disappointments and hurts. You have temptations. You have weaknesses, sins, addictions maybe. Nobody is exempt from these things. As much as we would like to sit in the house of God and put on that spiritual cloak and that look of righteousness and holiness that says we do no wrong. And come on. But if we'll be real tonight, we can all probably admit that there's something in our life that we need to take to the altar and leave it there. Yeah. Come on, we'll be honest and say everything's not really up to snuff in my life like it needs to be, and I've got to get rid of some things. And there are a lot of you, most of you tonight, can probably make a list of things right now in your life that keep you awake at night. Things that worry you, things that you worry about, stew about, fret about until you've got ulcers to show for it. It ain't just me.
No,
it's not. It ain't just me. A while back, probably a year or two, I don't know how long it's been, the ER class wrote down things, requests that we had, needs that we had, struggles that we had. Wrote them down on a piece of paper. We brought them up here to the altar. Some of you that are in ER, y'all remember this. We brought them up here to the altar. We take them to the bottom side of the altar, representing leaving those at the altar. And we kind of joked about it because some of them kept coming untaped and falling. Take it back up. No, I'm giving it to God. Right. Giving it to God. And I know that a lot of them have seen God move in those situations that they brought to the altar and left with God. Yes. Yes. Tonight, I don't know what you're facing. I truly don't, but God does. Maybe it's the fear of the unknown. Maybe it's disappointment in life. Maybe it's a sin or addiction that you just keep falling to over and over again. You tell yourself every time, you tell yourself this is the last time. And it is the last time. Until the next time. You tell yourself that over and over.
That's it.
There's a hatred almost that rises up in you because you just can't seem to overcome it. Take it to Jesus and drop the rope. And go back and pick it up. And go back and look at it. You get in that cycle. You face the temptation. You fall to the sin. You feel guilty. you confess. You face the temptation again, you fall into sin again, you feel guilty again, and you confess again, and it's that cycle over and over and over. But I want you to know tonight that it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. I'm just telling you this from experience. It does not have to be that way. These vices become such a part of your life that you can't even fathom life without it. Because in your mind, you've told yourself that this is the only sure thing that really gets me out of this situation. It's the only thing that really calms my nerves, or it's the only thing that really reduces my stress. It's something that I have to have when I start feeling anxious or angry, or whenever I start feeling all of the stress of the day, when the stress gets high, I have to turn to this vice because it's the only thing that's ever really proven itself to me. And I want to beg to differ with you tonight and tell you that if you will bring that to the altar and leave it there and drop the rope, you'll get out of that crazy cycle that you're in. You'll get out of that cycle. Sometimes we get so used to these things and we get so dependent on them that we're afraid to even face the day without them. Why don't you just drag it all up to the altar tonight and leave it there? Just drop the rope and leave it with the Lord. If you're ever going to grow in the Lord, if you're ever going to be strong and be that fruitful Christian, if you're ever going to be that man of God that God called you to be, if you're ever going to be that woman of God that God called you to be, you're going to have to drop the rope. You're going to have to quit lugging this stuff around. We're told to boldly approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. It doesn't matter what that need is. There are some of you here tonight with physical needs. Bring them to Jesus. That's all I know to tell you. Just take them to Jesus. Some of y'all are here with financial needs, and all I know to tell you is take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus, but don't let it choke out that word. Whatever your situation is, take it to Him, leave it there, and drop the rope. And don't pick it back up again. We're, a lot of times we say, God, here it is. And we're like that kid that takes that broken toy and hands it to their dad and says, can you please fix this for me? It's broken. And dad takes it and he works his wonders on it. And he's just about to snap that last piece into place. And just before dad snaps that last piece into place, that kid reaches up there and says, I got it. And it falls apart again. Take your toys to Jesus and leave them there. Drop that rope. Take it all to Him and leave it there with Him. He can figure it out. He already knows what it is. And so often we just try to figure things out the best way that we can. He doesn't answer it like we want it answered. He doesn't answer it in the time frame that we think that it needs to be answered. And so we jump back in the mix and start trying to figure it out again ourselves and start trying to make it work by what we know. But the Word tells me that there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We got to stop trying to do things our own way and give it to God and let Him take care of it. Give Him every care. I challenge you tonight. Whatever it is that is on your heart, whatever it is that's weighing you down, I challenge you to bring it to an altar of prayer tonight and drop the rope. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's past hurts or past sins or past failures. We all have them. You do good for a while. Then all of a sudden you realize that you're still tied to those people. Or you're still tied to those failures. You're still tied somehow to those disappointments. You begin to take an inventory of your life and you see that you're still hooked to those old habits. You're still hooked to those old mindsets. And you're still hooked to those old sins of the flesh. And there are people tonight, I believe, if we could see with eyes of the Spirit, not with our carnal eyes, but I believe if we could see through the Spirit tonight, we'd be able to see people tonight carrying loads. Carrying loads. Just lugging stuff. Some of y'all came in here tonight and it was hard for you to put one foot in front of the other. Some of you came in tonight and you did not want to come. You didn't want to be here. It would have been easier for you to stay home. It took everything you had to get in your car and drive to church tonight because you're under a load. You're under an attack. You're carrying things that God never meant for you to carry. You're weighed down by things that God never meant for you to be weighed down by. You're exhausted. Drop the rope. So maybe it's your past. Paul said, I'm forgetting those things behind and I'm looking forward.
Yes.
I'm looking forward. I'm pressing toward the mark. You can't press toward the mark. You can't press on if you're dragging things from the past behind you. Stop looking back. You know what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? Stop looking at all the shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Amen.
Stop struggling with it.
Right.
Realize what the situation is and call it by name. A lot of times we struggle and we struggle and we struggle because we don't want to face reality. Come on, people do everything they can to keep the truth hidden and to convince themselves that everything is okay and to convince everybody around them that everything is okay and that things aren't as bad as what they really are. They've done everything that they can to keep the truth hidden. They've done everything they can to keep from having to face what the actual problem really is. They've tried to ignore it. They've tried to stop talking about it. They've tried to stop thinking about it. But it still has a hold of their life. Not even asking for a show of hands tonight. Instead of continuing to deceive yourself and everybody around you, why don't you just bring it to Jesus? Sometimes people inflict such a deep hurt into our spirit that only God can fix it. Sometimes we face disappointments so great that only God can fix them. As long as we're holding on to those hurts and those failures and those disappointments, we're never truly going to grab a hold of what God has for us. Our hands are never free to hang on to what He's trying to give us because we're still hanging on to the rope. Whatever cares or needs you're facing right now, God wants to help you. God wants to help you. Don't be so stubborn that you don't let Him do it. God wants to help you. Stand with me tonight for the presence y'all come, musicians. Whatever you're facing tonight, you have a measure of faith that it's going to take to overcome it. You have a measure of faith that God has already given you. And if you'll take that little bit of faith and put it into action and say, I don't understand. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how God's going to do this for me. Fix it. Tried everything I know to try. I've tried giving it to Him and it seems like nothing works. I've tried praying about it. I've come to the altar. I wake up the next day and it's still there. Engage your faith tonight. Because dropping the rope is an act of faith. When those men dropped that rope, they did it in full assurance that man was going to be healed. Sometimes your doubtful reasonings are going to make more sense to you than having faith for something that you can't see and don't understand. But the Word tells me that God's ways are higher than my ways. They're past finding out. His thoughts and my thoughts are not the same. We're not going to understand. That's why we're in the mess we're in, is because we've tried to understand instead of just taking it to Him and leaving it there. You can drop the rope tonight, because God is more than able. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I still have some things that I'm waiting to see answers to. But I want to tell you, the last few months of praying over this message, even before Pastor Jason asked me to preach it, God had already put it in my spirit, and I've been pouring over this, and God and I have had some long talks about what I've needed to drop the rope on. But I can tell you tonight, if you drop the rope, He'll take care of it. The Word tells me, and Brother Jason mentioned this scripture a while ago, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage." If you'll drop the rope tonight, you'll leave a different way than you came. If you'll drop that rope, you get to stop carrying that load that you've been carrying for so long. If you'll just drop the rope. You drop the rope, you'll find rest for your weariness. If you drop the rope, you'll begin growing in the Lord again, and you'll begin becoming fruitful again. You drop the rope, and you're not going to stay stagnant any longer in your spiritual walk. And I want to tell you before I give the altar call, the thing that concerns me the most is that so many people are dragging things around with them on their way to heaven. They're dragging things around with them that cannot go to heaven. I don't think that sunk in. We're dragging things around with us that we cannot take into heaven with us. And we've got to let them go. We've got to drop them. We've got to drop the rope. And we've got to walk away. Because those things are not going into heaven. And if I'm carrying them, I'm not either. I know that's a big, hard pill to swallow. But that's what the Word says. Come on, I'm talking scripture after scripture, and I was going to read them all tonight, but for the sake of time, I will not. But I'm talking about things like adultery, drunkenness, sexual sin, idolatry, pride, arrogance, lying. And if I can't take those things into heaven, and I can't, then I don't want to be carrying them around here. And you don't need to be carrying them around here either. Drop them and let them go. Why continue lugging baggage around when you can just give it to God? Take it to Jesus. As I prayed over this message, as I prepared it over the last several weeks, as I spent time in prayer today, I just stayed in town and I went over upstairs and in the other building, and I just spent some time in prayer seeking God. And my prayer for you tonight is that you'll find freedom. So I know there are some in this house tonight that are in bondage. And if something doesn't happen, and if something doesn't change, you're not going to make it. I'm just being as honest with you as I can be with you tonight. And I'm doing it out of love, because God has put it in my spirit. And I love you. And I care about what happens to you. But I'm telling you, you can't be lugging things around here that will not get into heaven. I'm going to ask y'all tonight, if you're not saved, you need to come up and find a place to pray. Right now, before anybody else comes, if you're not saved, I'm going to ask you to come up and find a place to pray. And I guarantee you, there will be people there to pray with you. Anybody in the house not saved, That tells me that you are. But I know that when we are Christians, we're still lugging things around that we know we shouldn't be lugging, carrying things we know we shouldn't be carrying. I want to ask you to take a moment to search your heart. Ask God to turn the searchlight upon your heart. Father, God, I have done my best to deliver the word that you gave to me. God, in my weakness, in my frailty, God, in my humanity, Father, where I know that I fail, Lord, I'm asking that the power of the Holy Ghost shows up. Lord, I'm asking that you walk up and down every aisle tonight. I'm asking, Father, that you help each person tonight to take an inventory. Show them, Lord, those things that they need to cut out of their life, those things that they need to drop the rope on.